Aboriginal land, real Australians seek welcome. You might have seen those words plastered on a wall in your part of the country. Aboriginal land rights, asylum seekers, multiculturalism, they're just some of the big themes confronted by the artist Peter Drew in his street poster campaigns. Will Higginbotham catches up with the Adelaide artist in a Melbourne cafe.
Peter, you've just been out on in Melbourne's Fitzroy on Gertrude Street, putting up some street posters for your latest campaign, Real Australians Seek Welcome. Can you introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about how long you've been practicing street art for?
Well, I've been putting up posters in one form or another for about 10 years now, but only in the last few years has my focus really been on Australian national identity.
Tell me a little bit about this campaign, Real Australians Seek Welcome. What is it that we need to know?
Well, it's the inverse of the original phrase of the poster project, which was Real Australians Say Welcome, which was really about asylum seekers and our current conservative policy towards them. And I wanted to create a phrase which was an affirmation of Australian identity, but also a reversal of the norm. And this phrase, Real Australians Seek Welcome, is about how the non-Aboriginal Australians relate to Aboriginality and the history of colonialism. And so I think Australian national identity is extremely complicated, and it's very difficult to summarise it in a poster, even in three posters. So, but that is the attempt.
So the first campaign, Real Australians Say Welcome, it was a comment on the plight of asylum seekers and Australia's policy towards asylum seekers who came by boat. The second one, Aussie, featured a giant picture of Monga Khan and an Afghan cameleer, is that correct?
He was actually Indian and a hawker. So people often sort of group all the sort of people from the Indian subcontinent and from Afghanistan around those times as being Afghan, because it was sort of just a sort of Anglo simplification. But yeah, he was actually from what is today India, and he worked as a hawker here in Victoria, in Ballarat.
So I'm guessing that one was some kind of comment on Australian multiculturalism.
No, absolutely. I think it shows the enduring, it shows diversity in Australia despite conservative immigration policies. And that's something that I think people would, they'd prefer to identify with Monga Khan rather than the people who try to keep him out. I think he captures the spirit of what it means to be Aussie rather than the people who wrote the White Australia policy.
And like you said, this campaign is about bringing that full circle and talking about our original multiculturalism being all the different groups of Indigenous people. I was reading that originally this poster campaign was going to feature Indigenous languages, some 250 different Indigenous languages, as kind of like a recognition of those different groups. Tell me a little bit about why that changed and why now the poster says Aboriginal land, Real Australians Seek Welcome.
The original idea for the project was to create posters that named all the 250 Aboriginal language groups that were here in 1788. And so the problem with that, in me sticking them up personally, even in the capital cities, is that it could be actually quite divisive for someone to go around demarcating the different geographic locations, and it might not promote unity or peace. The original intention was to celebrate multiculturalism, and diversity. But I think the way you do that still matters. So I just had to think about it a lot and try to find a sort of peaceful compromise,
a more unifying concept. That kind of leads me to my next question. Do you ever receive any negative feedback?
Every now and then I get approached by somebody on the street who is very angry about what I'm doing, and not because I'm sticking up a poster. They're angry about the content of what I'm doing. And to be honest, that happens from both extremes of politics. And I think it's very tempting because those voices are extremely loud and irate, it's very tempting to think of them as speaking for far more people than they really do speak for. Because the vast majority of people just peacefully pass by my posters. every now and then somebody is curious and unsure of it, and they approach me and say, who's this guy with the turban? He doesn't look like an Aussie to me. And then I just speak a little bit about the history, and they're fine. And those are the people I really want to reach, the people who are a little bit afraid, a little bit unsure, but reasonable people.
When the public see this latest poster campaign of yours, what response are you looking for people?
The only response I'm ever really looking for is for people to think about it. I think, in a way, these posters are they're art posters disguised as activism. There's no ideology which I'm trying to promote. I really just think that people can look at our collective identity, such as Australianness, and see that it is something which can be reformed and changed to the way to reflect, you know, Australia's current diversity and the future. It's something that that we can decide for ourselves.
With these posters being so political, I have to ask, are you involved in any refugee or Indigenous communities in any way? And if not, how do you, I guess, position yourself in relation to the problems that these communities might be facing?
I mean, I sometimes work with various groups, but it's not, these posters aren't about any particular policy in particular, because then if I start commenting on policy, then I become a activist, and these posters are just propaganda. So I try to make that distinction, because I think it's very important that we have culture and we don't allow it to be subordinated to politics. I think they're two different spheres, two different rules for discussing ideas. If we reduce all culture to being a power play of politics, then that's fundamentally anti-cultural. And I feel very strongly about that.
You're a street artist. What is it about the medium that really draws you in?
I think that, well, there's something intoxicating about putting up art on the street, because you're going to reach people that can avoid galleries, and you get to have a discourse with everyone, and you don't need to seek permission from a institution. You know, something about my dad was an art teacher, and he always said to me, well, you can be an artist, Peter, but the thing is, it's about who you know. And there's some truth to that in all spheres of life, but when it comes to sticking up art on the street, all you need is just the will to do it, and hopefully a conscientious attitude about exactly where you're going to be sticking it up. You don't want to upset too many people.
With the distribution of these posters, how have you gone about distributing the previous two, and how are you going about distributing this third one?
So the first two campaigns, I printed a bit over 1,000 posters and stuck them up in the capital cities as fast as I could. This time round, I'm taking my time because the scale of the project's a lot larger. And I think the nature of it is different as well, because I feel as though it's research as much as it is a political campaign, but an art project, because I want to learn from it as well. I mean, if I knew exactly how the world works, and I simply had an idea which needs to be deployed within the world, and there was nothing for me to learn from the process, what's in it for me? You know, I want to come out of it having learned something, and hopefully understanding more about what we are and how the world works.
And what have you learnt so far?
Well, I think that one of the major things that we're perhaps missing in our current discourse in politics is that we actually need both sides of politics. People on the left need people on the right, and vice versa. And when it comes to fearing the other, it's actually okay to be afraid. It's all right to fear people from overseas or fear people that look different. That fear is actually, that's part of our biological baggage in a way. We're just poorly evolved primates. And so it's all right to feel that fear, but how we respond to it defines us. It defines us as individuals, defines our character, defines us as a nation. So those are choices, and we need to think carefully about them. But we need to forgive people for actually feeling afraid, and engage them in a calm and reasonable dialogue.
I understand that this is your last poster in the series. Is that a little bit bittersweet, and what can we expect next from you?
I think that anyone who sort of has a lot to say about national identity, they can get into a trap of and start to develop blind spots to the limitations of national identity, because it's just a sophisticated form of tribalism in a way. And I mean, my posters try to expand that, but I don't want to get trapped in it. And I'd like to, I'm currently working on a project for next year, which is which goes above and beyond that, and draws on metaphors that have traditionally been used to sort of nullify tribalism. And that's something I'd like, which won't just apply here in Australia. I can stick it up anywhere in the world.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for letting me learn a little bit more about yourself and this poster series.
Thanks very much.
South Australian artist Peter Drew. He's a very reflective man, isn't he? Speaking there to Will Higginbotham. And do keep your eyes peeled, because you're sure to see his posters around our capital cities. And you can also keep up with Peter's work through our website. In fact, you'll find all the details there. RN's Books and Arts.